Good morning.
It's cold, or I'm just nervous?
You know, my name is Jesus Chuy. Not Jesus. I went to Lexington Chapel this morning, and you know, I love that church. That was great. That was a great experience. People are so kind and welcoming, and that was pretty nice. But we were sitting in the front seat, you know, waiting for everybody to come. And then I heard all these people coming behind me, like, you know, they're all meeting, greeting, and you know, they're shaking hands. And so I told Paula, like, it sounds like a lot of people. And she's like, don't look back. It's okay. It's okay. So we just turned and they start introduce us to them and everything, and that was very good. After that, I feel like I've been part of that church for a long time because they're welcome. You're really, really good. I'll share with them, this message about the same message that I want to share with you this morning. And we was hearing from Dorsey last message before about be free, don't have fear, how Jesus is in us, how the church become not the building, not the place, but the person, but the community. And I kind of want to share this message because I think it goes with that really good, because I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit experience in our lives, in our church. And we all know who the Holy Spirit is, right? We do heard from, about him a lot. Every church we go, we heard about. Every scripture we read is somehow about the Holy Spirit. So we all very familiar with him, right? We know he's the third person of the Holy Trinity. We know he's the giver of life. It's the promise. It's, we even have a lot of figures or images of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, like a fire, wind, breeze, a dove, you know. A bunch of the things that help us to have an idea who the Holy Spirit is. And that's how I'm going to start today. I want to take the first scripture that I want to use this morning. Sorry. It's Acts. I don't have it on the screens, but we all know this one. It's in the book Acts of the Apostles in the chapter 2. The whole chapter 2 is talking about usually they call the book of Acts, they call the book of the Holy Spirit, because if you read the book of Acts, it told you about the Holy Spirit, the whole book, about the ministry of the apostle and how the Holy Spirit is redirecting or directing the church everywhere. So, but this scripture, Acts 2, talks about the Pentecostes day, you know, and the Pentecostes festivity on the Jewish tradition, it wasn't new. It was a festivity they always celebrate. But it turns in a new meaning for the Christians, because in Pentecostes is when the Holy Spirit descend on the apostles and the church start growing, right? Let me give you some backup and that. After Jesus rise up from the dead, he appeared to the apostles for several days until he ascended to heaven. When he ascended to heaven, he gave them the instruction to the apostles not to leave the city. Do not go anywhere. Stay here until my Father sends you the promise, the Holy Spirit. So do not leave this city. Stay here. But one thing about the apostles being there, as they are closed. They are in a place when everything is closed. They don't want to show up to nobody. They don't want nobody to know that they were there because they were scared. They're still scared that they're going to get killed or they're going to be in prison. So they're all in a place, all together, waiting for the promise, but in secret. They don't want nobody to know that they're there. Until that moment, and the scripture describes that moment very particularly. It's a strong wind, it's a big sound, and it's a tongue of fire that come and stay in each one of the apostles that day. That's how the Bible represents the coming of the Holy Spirit. A strong wind, a loud sound, and a fire tongues. After that, the first thing that they do is go outside. They don't care anymore. They don't afraid. They don't scare. They just go outside. And the first thing that they do is start preaching and start telling the people about Jesus Christ and what he did for our salvation. And they start with the Old Testament, telling them the Jewish thing that was David, the one that's going to fulfill the promise. But they said, no, David's dead. We have his grave with us. So it's not him, but Jesus. And let me tell you about this Jesus that you crucified. So Peter started telling them all the stuff about the Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's the one who's gonna fulfill the scripture. He's the one that God raised up from the grave, and now he's on his right hand in heaven. And he promised us the Holy Spirit. So they all amazed by. The scripture say there was a lot of people from everywhere around the world because they all go to celebrate that festivity that they used to go, Pentecostes. So there was people from different languages, from different countries, but they all know what Peter was talking about. They all say, don't we, as strangers here, don't we all from different countries, how do we can hear this guy and understand what he's saying? Is this at the point that too many people think they're drunk, drink too much? Yeah, it's a festivity. They are drunk, and Peter said, "No, we're not drunk. You know, we have something for you." And Peter said, later on, they asked Peter, "What should we do to God? What you have for us? What should we do now?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus so you can receive the Holy Spirit." Repent and be baptized so you can receive the promise, the Holy Spirit. I ask you, church, this morning, are we repent from our sins? Are we baptized? I think we all are baptized. I think we all repent of our sins. So that means we have the Holy Spirit, right? Are we? You're not sure? Maybe. Yes, we do. Because it's a promise that the God gave us. And it's not a promise that Peter say, hey, if you do what I say, then you will receive it because I say so. It's a promise from God himself. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. So, the Bible says that day, 3,000 people joined the church, the movement. 3,000 with one preaching of Peter. It wasn't what Peter said, it was what God did that day with the Holy Spirit. And it's what God is doing today with the Holy Spirit. Because let me ask you, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit in that time and the Holy Spirit in our time? It's a different spirit. That one was powerful than what we have right now? No, it's the same God. It's the same spirit. So what's the difference? Why in that moment 3,000 souls joined the church, joined the movement, and the church started spread out the world and tell about Jesus Christ and how he did for us and how we are saved and how we are joyful and how we are peaceful. Why? is the difference now with us. We have the Holy Spirit, don't we? We know about Him. We can read the Holy Scripture and we know, like, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit. If somebody says, you know the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I know the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a dove, it's a fire, it's a wind. So what's the difference in our lives, in their lives? You know? It's one of the scriptures that I like it to me, just to make the comparison how God is always acting and how the Bible will get connect. Because it has one author, one that inspired the whole Bible, even if it's a different writers, and the book has 66 books. They all have one who is the guy, who is the teacher. That's the Holy Spirit. So it's the First King, the First Kings, chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. This guy, Elijah, was running away from the persecution. In that time, they all want to kill all the priests and the prophets, and they turn against God and all the holiness. So he was running around. He was running away, and he wants to talk to God, have an encounter with God. So he going into the cave and waiting, because they told him, go into the cave, and you wait for the passing of Jehovah in front of that cave, so you can meet him or talk to him, because he wants to tell him that the people forgot about the covenant, and they kill the priests and they kill the prophets and they kill everybody. So Elijah was like, I just want to talk to him. So they say, wait and see. So he went in the cave, he went in the mountain, and he went in the cave, and he heard this heavy rain and this heavy wind, and he thought, that's God. But God wasn't there. And then he heard this earthquake who brought the stones and everything, and he thought, it's God right there. It's powerful. But God wasn't there. And then after the earthquake, he saw fire, and he thought, that was God right there. But God wasn't in the fire. After the fire, he just heard this voice like a breeze passing by. And then he knew, that's God right there. So he covered his face and go out and talk to him. You know? Sometimes we are so in a hurry that God resolves our problems that we expect that God be so loud in our lives to change it, or so burning everything bad around us that everything's going to be okay, or so shaking, you know, that we all going to wake up and say, hey, we want us the God to come and shake us like, wake up, church, you know? But sometimes God is just so quiet, right there, passing by, telling you, I got this. Be strong, hanging in there. Don't be in a hurry. Let me work on it. Let me do it, you know? Sometimes we are so confused because we read the Bible and we don't understand. But it's sometimes because we forgot that we have to ask the Holy Spirit to make us understand, because He's the one who inspired the Bible, so He can tell us what did He say, how that apply in our life. You know? The Bible it's an old book. You know? It's an old book. That happened thousands or hundreds of years ago. But still alive in our lives. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is alive. Because the Holy Spirit is right now, and He's the one who inspired the Bible. So it's going to be alive forever in our time and after our time. That's what the Bible is, the living book. Because it's God who write the book, who inspired the book, who made the book. And that book don't tell us anything else but how to be Christians, sons and daughters of God, how to be saved, and how to live our salvations with others. You know? We all read the Bible and we are amazed for the things that we can read there. But you know, those things can happen right now if we just let the Holy Spirit act in our lives. You know, everything can be happened the same way. We can tell a person that can walk, we can tell them, get up and walk in the name of Jesus if we believe. We can't do that because it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit, and it's the same Holy Spirit that did that with Peter, with Paul, and with all the apostles. And we are the new apostles of the church. Dorsey was telling us before, in the last passage, remember Christ in us. Christ in us. And Jesus tell the apostles, when I leave, I want to send you the paraclete. I want to send you. And he will live in you. And me and my Father, we will come and live in you so you will do the things that I did and bigger things than that because we all will live in you. See? And it's a promise from God. It's not a human promise. It's a promise from God. And he's not lying. And he's not lying. But what we need to do, we need to ask this question like they did before. What we need to do. But if we already repent and we already baptized, what we need to do? We need to be open to the action of the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit act in our lives. He wanted to do it. He wants to lead us in our hearts. We just need to let him do that. It's all we need to do. We don't need to do nothing else. He will do the rest. We just need to do, Lord, here I am. You see? Here I am. I'm a human. I'm imperfect. Here I am. He knows that. He knows that we're not perfect. If he will give the Holy Spirit just to the perfect people or the perfect creation, we will give the Holy Spirit to the angels, not to us. Yeah? So it's not our place to say, oh, I'm not right to have the Holy Spirit. Oh no, that's too much. That's too holy. I'm a sinner. Hey. Don't tell God something that he already knows. That's what he wants to give us to us. Because remember in the beginning when God created us, what he blew into our noses, what he gave us when he created us. How? Why he breathed into us? The spirit, the breath. So, and we become alive. Right? We were creating in the last part of the creation. We wasn't the first one to be created. We wasn't the last ones to be created. He created the light, and then he separated the waters from above, and then he created all the plants, the animals. He created everything else, and then he created the human. He created the man, then the woman. Why? Because we are the only ones that have the Holy Spirit in us. And we was on charge of everything. He put us on charge of the whole thing that he creates to help him to get perfect, to grow with, to live with, to enjoy that. But you know, all these things that we are doing like a Christian, when you feel those things, when you have that feeling, that you have, you want to do good for somebody, that you want to help somebody, you know, we know that's the movement for the Holy Spirit. We know that, right? We cannot even say the name of Jesus Christ without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We cannot even say, Jesus, I love you, without the help of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit help us to worship. The Holy Spirit help us to accept Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit help us to live like Christians. The Holy Spirit inspire us to love. Yeah. That's what is. I don't know if you was reading on. I mean, if you read these passages before on the Bible, but it's in the whole, in the three Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when they remark the sacredness of the Holy Spirit, and they say, if somebody sins against the Father, commit a sin against the Father, it will be forgiven. If somebody commit a sin against the Son, it will be forgiven. But if somebody commit sin against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Is the Holy Spirit more important than the Father and the God? No, it's all God. But the Holy Spirit is the one who moves us to repent, to ask for forgiveness. So if we deny the Holy Spirit, if we don't believe in Him, who's going to move us to repent? Nobody. So our sin is, it will still stand. And it's not going to be forgiveness. It's not going, because there's no repent. So it's the Holy Spirit who moves us to ask for forgiveness, to ask for God to help. You know? It's the Holy Spirit who guides us. That's all He wants us to do. Even if we don't believe in Him, even if we don't like Him, even if we don't want Him in our lives, He is real. He is real. You know? I was telling the other church, like, when you go on a trip and you don't know the directions, you turn your GPS on, and the GPS tells you where to go and, you know, stuff like that. But if for some reason you take a wrong turn or going in a wrong direction or something, the GPS redirects you, right? And tell you, oh, man, you messed up right here. Now you have to turn all this way, go this way, and then you're going to find your way back. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit and the God actions do the same thing. He is directing us in one way. But we're hard-headed sometimes, and we're like, I don't like that because it's painful, because I have to ask this girl, this lady, or my friend, or my brother for forgiveness. I don't want that. I'm just going to turn right here and go in a different direction. I'm going to pretend that I didn't see that. I'm just going to keep going this way. Hey, it will be okay. And the Holy Spirit doesn't stop us right there. He doesn't stop and say, wait, wait, wait. No, it's not the way you go. No, He redirects us again. And somehow, at one point, we want to be in the same way that we was before, because we have to be there. We have to be with God. We want us to be happy, free, joyful. That's where God wants us to be. And probably it's going to take the whole life to get redirected. Probably we want to be skipped out and go in a different direction. And God will keep us redirect us and bring us back. It's going to be a battle maybe between us and God, but He will win. One day He will put us where He wants us to be. And that day we will be happy, plenty, free, peaceful. The Holy Spirit is available for everybody, because in the Acts, Peter say, and the promise is for you, for your kids, for your family, and for all those who are far away, far off, and for all those that God wants to call. So the promise is for everybody. Even if we go a little bit ahead on the book of Acts, when Peter is preaching to the Jews, but there was some Gentiles right there. And the Gentiles started speaking language and receiving the Holy Spirit. They all was shocked, like, we thought the Holy Spirit is just for the Jews, No, it's for the Gentiles. It's for everybody. For those who belong to church, for those who don't belong to church, for everybody. It's available for all of us. We just need to be open to the action of the Holy Spirit. That's all we need to do. Just open our heart, our mind, because we have the Holy Spirit on us. He's dying to act in our lives. Just be open to it, and He will do what He wants to do in our lives. You know? We can have some tips that they're going to tell us or let us know if we're living in the Holy Spirit or not. You know, the Bible in the letter of Galatians, he gave us the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I thought that was 7, but the Bible says 9, and some of their saints is like 72 or more, you know. But I'm going to go with these ones because that's the more important, I think. Well, they are important, but these ones are more easy. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and goodness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we all know the trees by the fruit. If we don't know the name, we just wait for the fruit, and then we say, oh, this is an orange tree, this is a lime tree, this is a, you know, whatever. For the fruit, by the fruit, we can tell. So this is the fruit that we should start showing to the world. This is the fruit. Love, which we all need, you know. All we need is love, said the song. Joy, that's what we all want, you know, joy. We want to sing on Christmas time, joy to the world, you know. Peace, we want peace. We're living in a world that is going crazy around us. And we all see and we all get like a, man, this is so hard to live in this world. We're thinking about our children and say, where are we going with this one, you see? Well, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the one that we have inside of us, is peace. We already have that inside of us. We already have the creator, the giver of that, of peace in our hearts. Faithfulness. We need to believe. We always say, oh, it's hard to believe. I don't know if I believe it or not. Yes, you do. You do. Don't be so hard on you. You believe. Maybe you don't see the fire and the wind and the earthquake, but you do believe. You are blessed with the Holy Spirit. You do believe. Gentleness. Kindness. Next time that we talk to somebody, we call somebody, we see somebody in the street, let's think if we are kind and see if we live by the Spirit. Kindness with somebody who needs us. Even if it's the annoying friend they all we all have, they've been calling us all the time and telling us, oh, I have this problem, oh, I have this, oh, I have this. And sometimes it's like, wait, I have too many problems on my own. I don't want to deal with yours. You know? But hey, what about just telling him, I pray for you, holding in there, God loves you. Kindness. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He will give peace to that person. You know, strength to that person. Self-control. Yeah. You know, when you get all crazy, especially when you are so busy and full of stuff that you have to do, and then you don't have no self-control, and you just... Or when you don't have coffee. No, I'm just saying. You know, self-control. That's another fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't have any of those, we have to ask for the Holy Spirit to give us. Just give me this that I need. And hey, he will give you that. He will. He will give you that. I invite you to reflect all this week and all the days you want it. And the scripture of Galatians 5:25, when it says, if we live by the Spirit also walk. If we live by the Spirit also walk. You know? Because we have the Spirit on us. It's the promise that God gave us, and that's the promise that he fulfilled. So we already have the Spirit on us. We just need to let Him come out and transform our lives and the lives that we love. But I'm waiting for the band, sorry. I want you, you know, I did last time. I remember last time that I was sharing with you a message. I did this. I invite you to stand up, face the person in front of you, put your hands on their shoulder of that person, and we want to pray for that person. But we want to ask for one thing. We want to ask God to let that person experience the Holy Spirit. We want to ask God, not for anyone else, but please, God, let this, my friend, my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, my family, whatever, experience the Holy Spirit today.